All right, choices. Choices. Think about choices. Yeah, how many choices do you make each day? Lots and lots and lots of choices. My first choice is, or should I get out of bed? Maybe it's yours too. Because some mornings I don't want to get out of bed. You know, I feel yucky. Didn't sleep well. The dog woke me up. Or the cat's licking my fingers. Or he's clawing me under the blankets because now I have a kitten sleeping with me too. Oh boy. He likes to sleep with the dog. And if the dog's there, just one of the cats is also usually there. You know, and I don't have the heart to kick him out unless he starts to claw me or lick me, and then I give him the boot. But choices. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. In fact, we will look at Lot. So let's start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and just for this man called Lot, who just was a believer, Lord, as he is mentioned in the book of Hebrews. But Lord, as we look at his life, Lord, today, it's just a little snapshot of just what he did. And just one choice he made. And the consequences thereof. And Lord, as we look at his life, Lord, help us to look at our lives. You help us, Lord, just to take a close look. And just not make the same decision he did. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. All right. Oh, let me stick this aside. Turn with, oh, well, first let me go. Here we go. Choices. We make choices every day. What to eat, what to wear, just what to do, just what to say. And on and on and on it goes. Now, just some choices are what's simple. Some are hard. But some are important. And some are right. And some are wrong. But all what choices have consequences. And now it's not working. Here we go. All choices have consequences. Some are good consequences if it's a good choice. But you know, there are just many people who make the same bad choice hoping that it's going to turn out for good. And it doesn't. I would like to look at the life of a Lot today. So please turn with me to Genesis 13, please. Genesis 13. And we're going to jump off here. Whoops, if I could get there. Click, come on, click. All right, this isn't working, guys. I don't know why. Oh, there it is. All right, the choice. Okay. Yeah, He'll read just verses 1 and 2, please. You have Genesis 13. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Verse 2. Then Abram was very rich in what livestock? Just in silver and in gold. Now jump to verse 5. And what Lot also, just who went with Abram, he had flocks and herds and tents. And so what Lot and Abram had a lot of possessions. Herds, flocks, tents. So in other words, he had a lot of servants. He had a lot of people, a lot of slaves that were working his flocks. And this caused a problem. Abram and Lot had just many flocks and herds. Yeah, I just read that. Yeah, you know what? I'm just going to skip all that. It isn't working. We're not going to do that. All right. If you want to turn it off. You just turn it off. Yeah. This caused a problem. Look at Genesis 13, verse 6. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell with together. They had so much so rich that they couldn't dwell together. Wow. Not enough green grass. Not enough wells. Not enough water. So they had to make a choice. Look at verse 7. There was strife between the herdsmen. Yahweh Abram's livestock and the herdsmen, Yahweh Lot's livestock. They were Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife just between you and me and between my herdsmen and just your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land and just before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go just to the right. You know, or if will you go to the right, then I will go to the left. Now notice verse 10. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of what Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord. Just like the land of what Egypt, as you go towards Zoar. Verse 11, then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan. And what Lot would journeyed east, and they separated just from each other. And so it noticed there was strife. So many possessions, not enough of this, not enough of that. Then Abram says, Lot, let's not have strife. Let there be no contentions among our servants, our herdsmen. Just between us. And so let's separate. I'll let you choose, Lot. You choose where does you want to go. And so Lot just lifted his eyes and saw. That word saw means to see. But it means more than that. So I wish this was up on the screen because then you could see it better. That word Saul just means to advise self. To advise self. Consider, discern, have experience, take heed, or perceive, to see. That word Saul means to advise self. Lot never talked to God about this decision. He never talked to the Lord. He advised himself. Lot looked, and it was green, and it was well watered, perfect for his herds and flocks. But in that perceiving, that's all Lot saw. Lot saw nothing else. Nothing else Lot saw. Lot chose for himself all that plain. Oh, yes, it was gorgeous. Like the garden of God. Like the garden. It was beautiful. Look at verse 12. So Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and what pitched his tent even as far as what Sodom. And so look where he dwelt, near to Sodom. That word Sodom means scorched or burnt. That's where he pitched his tent. Right there. But it gets worse later because he's going to dwell in the city. He's going to have a house there later. But the first step that he's living outside the city now. Lot made a choice just with his eyes. He advised himself. He didn't call upon the Lord. Lord, I don't need wisdom. This is an easy decision. It's green, it's fertile, it's well watered. I don't need to pray about this decision. It's obvious. Was it? Sometimes we make decisions just like that. We leave God out. And that's what Lot did. But with every decision, there's consequences. And just with this decision, there's a lot of consequences. A lot of things happened to Lot. Look at Genesis 13:13. This is what it says. But the men of Sodom just were, notice, exceedingly wicked and what sinful. Just against the Lord. And now notice, that word exceedingly means holy. W-H-O-L-L-O-Y. Or completely. It also means speedily, fast, louder, and what louder? Utterly. Also, they were utterly wicked, louder and louder with their wickedness. And then the what next word? That word wicked means evil favoredness, grievous, ill-favored, worstest, if what that's a word. Because that's what it said in the, worstest, yeah. But it also means it's wretchedness. That's what the people were, where he was moving. Then the word sinful. That word sinful means a criminal. Or one that is accounted guilty, offender, sinful. God had already judged these people. They were criminals. One just accounted guilty. But Lot never saw that. Lot didn't see that. He saw the plain, like the garden of God. And he didn't talk to God about it. Now the first consequence, Genesis 14, please, verses 1 and 2. Genesis 14, 1 and 2. You know, this is where I am really going to get stuck with all these kings' names. All right, verse 1. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar. Yeah, I am stuttering. So I know this one. I'm stuttering to say it. Chedorlaomer. Yep, king of Elam. And what title? King of nations. That they made war just with what Bera, and king of Sodom, and Bersha, king of just Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Adma, yep, Shemarber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zor. And so notice, there's war. There's a battle taking place. There's some rebellion going on. Let's see, he's going to be, Lot's going to end up being what, carried away just with his possessions. Look at verse 8, please. Go to verse 8. Let's jump ahead here. Verse 8. In the king of Sodom, just the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Adma, the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zor, just went out and would join what together. Excuse me, in the battle, just in the valley of what Sidim against, and just Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, titled king of nations, Amraphel, king of Shinar, and what Arioch, king of Elasar. Four kings against five. Now the valley of what Sidon just was full of asphalt pits, and the kings of Sodom, And what Gomorrah fled. Some fell there, and the remainder fled to the mountains. Then they took all the goods with Sodom and Gomorrah, and all their provisions, and just went their way. Then verse 12, look at verse 12. They also took Lot, Abram's brother's son, just who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And what? Notice what it says there, that he dwelt in Sodom. He wasn't in a tent anymore. Now he's in a house in Sodom. Moved in, yeah. Yeah, he has moved in. He has moved in now to the city with these wicked, evil men who are wholly committed to their sin. In fact, we're going to see that again as we continue. He's moved in there with them. And that word dwelt means properly just to sit down, specifically to judge. He was one of the leaders of that city now. To dwell, to remain, and just to inhabit, to make, to keep house, to remain there. He's now living there. But he's been now carried off with all his possessions. Carried away. Taken because of war. Did he help make that decision to rebel? Doesn't tell us. But he's a leader there. And that word goods means what? Property, as what gathered. Goods, riches, substance. See, Lot was a part of the city and was carried away just with all his possessions. That plane looked good. But all of a sudden, it's all gone. He's captive. First consequence, he's captive. But Abram to the rescue. Look at verse 15. I'll back up verse 14. Now, just when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house. He just went in pursuit as far as Dan. He was divided his forces against them by night. He and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far Yazwahaba, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as just the women and the people. Abram to the rescue. He brings them back. Could this have been a warning to Lot to get out? Scripture doesn't tell us that. But could God be warning Lot to get out of that city? But Lot doesn't heed it. Lot stays. Now the second consequence. Look at chapter 19 of what Genesis, please. But chapter 19, let's jump there. Let's begin in verse, let's see. Verse 1. Just the second consequence is, if you're filling out your outline, Lot loses all his possessions and his wife. Verse 1. Now the two angels came with to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting just in the gate of Sodom. Just when Lot saw them, just he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Now these are the two angels that left Abram's presence. They're coming to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And what there is Lot, he is in the gate because he is one of the leaders. So he invites them into his house. Verse 2. You know, Lot said, you're here now. Just my lords, please turn in what to your servant's house and would spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may arise early and would go on your way. And they said, no, but just we will spend the night in the open square. See, the angels wanted to stay outside. They wanted to see what's going to happen in this city. Lot, in what, verse 3? Lot insists, come into my house. And so they turn and they listen to Lot and they spend the night with Lot. And what, notice, in the house. Again, Lot's living in the city, in a house. Look at verse 5. And they called to Lot. Let's go to verse 4. And now before they would lay down, the just men of the city, just the men of Sodom, and both old and young, all the people from every quarter just surrounded the house. That must have been some scene. Two men come. Two angels, they appear as men. And they're in Lot's house, and here come these men. Verse 5, and they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may know them carnally. So Lot went out to them through the doorway, and you shut the door behind him. And what said, please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. No, and just notice what he called them. Please, my brethren. See, he's accepted everything there. My brethren. Verse 8. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and just you may do it to them as you wish. Only do not do to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof. That gives the appearance to me that Lot knew exactly just what these men were doing. Exactly. He was protecting these men because he knew what would happen to them that night. Lot knew it. And yet he stayed there. Verse 9. And they said, stand back. Then they said, this one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. And what, notice that it's now gotten physical. They're coming by force. Kind of sounds like America today, right? Louder and louder, force. We're going to make you accept us. Same thing going on then. Verse 10. But the men reached out their hands and would pull Lot into the house with them and shut the door. Verse 11. They struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness. Notice, both small and great, so that they became just weary trying to find the door. Just remember, they were wholly committed to their sin. You're wholly, they're blind, and they're still looking for the door. Thinks of just the end times. God pours out his judgments upon the earth, and men will not repent. Same thing here. They're blind. They can't see, and they're still trying to find the door so they can sin with these two men. Wickedness. Verse 12. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here? And your son-in-law, just your sons, your daughter." Excuse me, Aunt. "Just whomever. Just you have in the city. Take them out of this place. Just for we will destroy this place. Just because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord." And what the Lord has sent us to destroy it. They've been sent there with a purpose to destroy. So Lot went out, spoke to his son-in-laws who had married his daughters and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But just to his sons-in-law, just he seemed to be joking. They didn't take a lot seriously. Verse 15, when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Just arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." Then notice verse 16, and while he lingered, he hesitated. He hesitated. "The city's going to be destroyed. Get out of here." And he lingers. I don't know what was going through his mind, but he lingered. Was he still thinking about that grassy plain? That well, just water, just like the garden of God? He didn't want to leave the city. Lot hesitated. Then notice verse 16. The men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. And notice, God is showing him mercy. He's being shown mercy. They brought him out and would set him outside the city. Just so it came to pass when they had what brought them outside, that he said, notice, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape just to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." And notice again, destroy, destruction. And the angel said it to Lot multiple times. Then Lot said to them, "Please." "Please know, my lords." Verse 19. "Indeed now, just your servant has found favor in your sight. And what you have increased your just mercy, just which you have shown me by saving my life, but I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die." Now this was at the angel's direction, and he's arguing just with the angel. "I can't go there. I'm going to die." Verse 20. "And see now, the city is near enough just to flee to, and it is what little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said to him, "See, I have favored you. You're just concerning this thing also. And in that I just will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken." Verse 22, "Just hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. And therefore, the name of the city just was, it's called Zor." So Lot argues, "No, I can't go there to the mountains. I want to go to Zor, to the city here. It's a small city. Surely you're spare that city." So the angel gives him permission. And jump ahead You hear what the verse 26. But his wife looked back behind him. And when she became a pillar of what salt, or a statue of salt, his wife disobeys. The angel said, don't look back. Just escape for your lives. And what does she do? Looks back. She is a pillar of salt, just like that. Then God rains down fire and what, brimstone. And all that Lot has is gone. All of his servants, all of his flocks, all of his herds, his home, completely gone. And now his wife, too. Oh, but he's got his two daughters. That's all he left with. He had nothing else with him. All left behind. He's lost everything. Everything but his two daughters. One choice that led to other choices. Because as he took his own advice, he didn't seek the Lord. But it goes on. Verse 30. Here we see the influence of what Sodom just upon Lot's daughters. Verse 30. Then Lot went out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters were with him, for he was afraid to dwell in Zoar. And what he just and his two daughters dwelt in a cave. Verse 31. Now the firstborn just said what to the younger, that our father is old, and there is no man on the earth to come into us, as is the custom of all the earth. Notice there is no man out there. There's no other men for us. They didn't think about Abraham. They didn't think about other descendants. There's no man for us out there. There's no one else. He doesn't exist. That's what that means. He doesn't exist. There's no husband for us out there. That's what they were thinking. All of those possible husbands, they lived in Sodom. They're all destroyed now. There's no one out there for us. And then look at verse 36. Thus, both the daughters of what Lot were with child by their father. They committed incest with their dad. The influence of that wicked city, that nothing was important. Not even that. Living there had influenced Lot's daughters to do evil with their own father. Who did they give birth to? Look at verse 37. Just the firstborn born just bore a son, and what called his name, named is Moab. Just he is the father of the Moabites to this day. Verse 38. The younger, and just she also just bore a son, and what called his name, named is Ben-Ami. Now just he is the father of the people of what Ammon to this day. Who just were the what Moabites and the Ammonites? They were enemies of Israel.
Right.
Complete all the time enemies of Israel. That's what came through this one decision to advise self. The consequences of this one choice are overwhelming. Lot and his just possessions were carried off, just away in war. And Lot's home and all what possessions destroyed. And Lot's wife turned to a pillar of salt. And Lot's daughter is using him just to live immorally. What should Lot have done? Prayed. Lot should have prayed about his choice and would not let his own eyes advise him. When we're making choices, we need God's help. No matter how big a decision is or how small a decision.
That's right.
It usually isn't the big ones that get us. It's those small ones. Never advise yourself. The consequences are too great. Turn with me to Matthew 6, please. Matthew 6:33. You all know this verse. In Matthew 6, verse 33. Matthew 6:33 just says this. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Lot needed green pasture. Lot needed water for his flocks and herds. But did Lot seek the Lord first? Nope. Lot's eyes advised him. It looks right. It feels right. I'm going to live there. And just what does Lot have left? His two daughters with two grandsons that become their enemies. Just the enemies of Israel. This is it. Last time, you just hear of Lot. In what Genesis? All because of one choice. So let me close this with this here question. How often do you let your eyes advise you? How often do you let your eyes advise you? Don't let that happen. Pray. Pray about the big decisions. Pray about the little choices. Pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and for this man Lot, Lord. As we know, your word says that he was vexed by these things. But Lord, he what chose to live there. He looked with his eyes and he saw what looked good. And he made a choice, Lord, to live in that place. And it cost him just about everything. Everything. Because of one choice. May that not happen to us, Lord. May we always seek you in prayer about everything. Even the tiny things. In Jesus' name, amen.